The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this service on Trinity Sunday. Traditionally, the first Sunday after Pentecost, we turn our celebrations to the triune God, the three in one, God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As we have been taught before, the three persons of God have an unending preferential relationship for each other. And that is what God wants for us, with God and with each other. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, we hear these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you have a candle at home for worship, let's light them together. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, from the beginning of time to the end of eternity, you have chosen to use your power and majesty to love us, to redeem us, to shape us as your people. King of kings and Lord of lords, you became weak so you could confront the strength of sin and death, confounding their ridicule with your resurrection. Spirit of God resting upon us, may your power inflame us with your peace. May your peace touch us with your grace. May your grace fill us with your hope. May your hope lead us into your kingdom. God in community, holy in one, may your words be on our lips as we pray together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray the prayer of confession. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbour as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we have put to death our old ways of living and acting, and we have been given new life as God's children. So be at peace. In Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you are familiar with our in-person worship services here at St. Stephen's, you will recognize those words. It has long been our tradition to begin our 11 o'clock services here with that beloved greeting. And so for many of us, those words just kind of tumble from our lips, stirring something within us much deeper than conscious thought. In that greeting, we are beginning our worship by proclaiming a central belief of the Christian faith, a belief that actually distinguishes us from other religious traditions, our belief that somehow God is both mysteriously one God in three persons. Today, we are celebrating that belief. We are celebrating Trinity Sunday. And so we are paying particular attention to that proclamation that is really at the heart of our faith. The same proclamation that is also one of the more difficult parts of our faith to get our heads around. For two millennia, Christianity's best and brightest scholars have been trying to figure out a way to explain the Trinity and explain how it is that God can somehow be both three and one. And to my knowledge, they have yet to arrive at something that really clears up all of this mystery. I know that questions about the Trinity are among the most common questions that I encounter as I do my work amongst you. And I also know that I am never able to answer those questions with objective clarity. The best I can usually offer is some musing that kind of nibbles around the edges of this idea of how God is both three persons and still one indivisible unity. Well, one of the objections you will sometimes hear about this belief that our God is triune is that the word the Trinity does not actually appear in the Bible. And that is strictly true. That term was actually developed in the early years of the church as our first theologians tried to work out what the relationship was between the God who Jesus referred to as Father, Christ himself, and the Holy Spirit. Trinity was the word they came up with to identify a reality that we actually see described throughout the overall biblical story, that our God is one God who comes to us in three persons. Last week, we had an example of how we see this in Scripture in our reading from John's Gospel. As you read that passage, you see that all three persons of God are beautifully woven together in it. As Jesus, who is God the Son, explains to his first disciples that he's actually returning to God the Father, and that once he's done that, God the Holy Spirit is going to come to be with them forever, leading and helping them. Now, that passage doesn't specifically say the words that God is three in one, but the understanding that God is triune is very much there in the reading and central to all that is happening. And that is actually quite characteristic of the Trinity. Rather than being strictly labeled and defined, the Trinity is best understood and appreciated by watching the three persons of God live and work and move and be together. Well, one of the best things I have ever come across to help us to try to gain an understanding of the Trinity in this more experiential way is actually the book and its accompanying movie, The Shack. I know that there have been some objections to this story. However, I think that it does do a very good a job as anything I've ever come across, of helping us to get a sense of the interconnection and the deep and beautiful relationship that exists between the three persons of God. In that story, more than in the particulars of how each of the three is depicted, the way that they love and delight in each other, the way that they relate and interact with each other in perfect harmony and unity, it's very, very helpful for us as we think about God. It's in seeing the relationship between the three happening before you as that story unfolds that you begin to get a glimpse of the sense of this mystery of God that we have. The key to the Trinity truly is found in the relationship that exists between them all. It is a relationship of incredible love, of mutual giving and receiving that is always happening, always going on back and forth between and amongst all three. Like any relationship, the best way to get a sense of it is to see it happening, to see it being lived out. Watching it happens tells you more than any words trying to describe it possibly could. The relationship within the Trinity has actually been described by some as being like a dance, all three moving in perfect rhythm and sync with each other, moving seamlessly and effortlessly, so much so that they seem to together become one fluid, swirling movement. Again, it's not the literal words that help here. It's the picture they bring to our minds. The image of that perfect dance, it helps us to sense the essence of our triune God better than any literal theological words ever could. Well, our reading for today is another example of one of those passages I just talked about, one where all three persons of God are present, and as is their very nature, where all three are working together towards one single purpose. In this section from Paul's letter to the Romans, he's describing how the Spirit works to draw us into life with God, a life in which he says that we are actually co-heirs with Christ. Now, as you are probably sensing, talking about the Trinity can get pretty heady pretty fast. And ironically, as I have been trying to illustrate, all of this heady talk is sometimes not particularly helpful. So with that in mind, instead of going through our reading verse by verse to try to discover what it says, I want to do something a bit different today. I want to read part of this same scripture passage to you from a different translation of the Bible, from the Message paraphrase translation. I'm thinking and hoping that this paraphrase might help us to move away from a purely intellectual understanding towards a more heartfelt sense of the overall message, which is actually encouraging us to recognize and to embrace the Spirit's movement in our lives. So here it is. Here's the first few of those verses from the Message. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" I want to repeat that last bit. As you listen to it again, don't just listen to the words. See if you can sense the feeling that they bring out. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" Far from heady and passive, there is an energy here, a sense of life to this. When God's Spirit beckons, we are drawn. Drawn to God and drawn into the movement of God in our lives and in this world. This is not just an intellectual system of belief God has for us. It's a life. It's a life that is expectant, eager, anticipating all that is to come. When the Spirit is at work within and amongst us, we are almost like impatient young children tugging on our parents' sleeve, hardly able to wait and asking that question, "What's next, Papa?" We know and we trust God, and we trust that God has good plans for us and for our world. And so we look forward to whatever is coming, because we know that whatever it is, it's going to take us one step closer to the realization of those wonderful plans. The Spirit is drawing us into that dance that truly is life with God. So, dear friends, this reality, this beautiful drawing that is characteristic of how the Holy Spirit works in our lives, it is a distinctive beauty of the Christian faith. Before Jesus got a hold of me some 19 years ago, I used to think that being a Christian meant believing in God and probably believing some certain things about God as well. And while there is some truth to that, it certainly isn't the extent or the beauty of what it is to be a Christian. And I dare say it is not the heart of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The beauty and the truth of Christianity is that we live in reality. Reality with a God who loves us unbelievably and beautifully. a God who sent and gave his Son so that we might be able to live life in that love. A God whose very spirit is constantly moving within and amongst us to draw us into that dance of love more fully every day. Amen.
Hello. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we come to you this first Sunday after Pentecost as we've heard the word from Diane that all three persons in the Trinity lead to life, life by the Holy Spirit. Come be with us, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence with us today as we lift our hearts to you in praise and thanksgiving. We ask you, dear Lord, to be with us as the pandemic lessens and the vaccines are giving us freedom back to us once again. Yahoo! Freedom to gather socially, respecting others. Protect us, Lord, as Psalm 91, we are under the shadow of your wings. We pray for our loved ones, that they all know you as their Savior and friend. We lift up caregivers, taking care of their loved ones, giving them rest, comfort, and peace. We bring our worries and cares to you, and give thanks so we can have a good night's sleep, remembering Philippians 4:6, do not worry, do not be anxious, but by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, bringing our concerns to the Lord, and he gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, we lift up those with illnesses, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. We pray your healing touch, restoring them to wholeness, peace, and tranquility. We pray wisdom, integrity, and compassion for our government leaders locally, provincially, and federally to demonstrate in their work decisions that they care for us. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as Psalm 122 tells us, along with all nations, peace, peace, and unity. Let's all remember this wonderful verse from 2 Chronicles. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will bless their land. Bless you, Lord, and all that is within us. Bless your holy name. And let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you once again for your faithful giving to the work of this congregation and to the work of the church at large through the Mission and Service Fund. Will you join me now in praying to dedicate all of these gifts to God's use? God of love and peace, you created the vast universe. Through Christ your Son, you redeemed the world from human disobedience. Open our eyes to see the reflection of your image in each person. By your Spirit, inspire us to contribute to the flourishing of people, creatures, and the environment that you made to be very good indeed. Use these gifts and offerings to support our church's mission of hope and assistance for our neighbors near and far. We pray through our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we go, I just want to remind you to keep an eye on your email, on the announcements and other notices that may come from the church. We all heard this week our province's plan for reopening, and we want you to know that we are in the midst of developing our own plans, and that you will be hearing the details as we get clear on what those can be and on the dates that we can head for. So please stay tuned, watch your email, and if you have any questions or concerns, don't hesitate to call us here at the church. We would love to talk with you about how we are going about reopening and restarting around here as well.
Thanks for having me come share with you today, and thanks for your partnership with us as we do Young Life in our community. What a year it has been. 18 months ago, we were getting ready to take kids in our community to camp, and so much has happened. So many different things have changed and adjusted, and we have tried so hard to be working with kids as much as we can in person. We paused our in-person activities back in March last year and switched to Zoom. And if I'm honest, it didn't work very well at all. Kids were burnt out on online learning at home, and they kind of felt like they were stuck at home, and they couldn't see their friends, and they just wanted to be out and with people. We did manage to run a summer day camp last year in lieu of a normal week-long summer camp program, and kids loved it. Families were so excited that we were able to do stuff with kids in person with the appropriate protocols. We played a lot of mini golf in Parksville. We went go-karting a few times, and we hung out at the beach quite a bit. Our leaders took it in turns to share a simple club talk with kids, not knowing which kids would be able to be there and which kids had heard different talks in the past. We did the in-person, online, to visiting kids on the porches adjustment through the fall, and switched to in-person in January for a few months, before we just took a four-week pause as they initiated the travel restrictions on the island. We're going to be back in person with kids this coming Wednesday in May for some physically distanced basketball in family cohorts. And we are so thankful that Island Health has been really helpful in allowing us to meet with kids and be with kids in person and showing us how to navigate the protocols. Kids have faced some extremely difficult challenges, especially in their mental and emotional health. For this summer, some Young Life areas are going to do overnight type camps, but we're going to stick to the day camps that we've done for the last couple of years so that we can navigate different restrictions should they come up and give kids an option to do something different every week, even if they do go away and are able to do so. As leaders, we've been working hard on how we can share our faith and answer questions kids and their families might have. And we've also tried to engage with neighborhood families in ways that we've never been able to before. We've played a lot of basketball in the street with different kids that we know, and we've had dinner over the fence with different neighbors, just to get to know them and try to still engage in our work and meet new people. I think the hardest part about this last year has not been able to reach out to brand new kids. That's kind of who we are and what we're about. We want to constantly be meeting new kids, and we haven't been able to do that this year. However, we have seen the same 25 to 30 kids every week for something related with Young Life. And they get to engage with who Jesus is and the relationship that they could have with him, which has been really encouraging. I'm so proud of our leaders for constantly adjusting back and forward to navigate the public health orders and keep kids safe and keep themselves safe. The kids we work with have also been really resilient and patient with us when we've been able to hang out with their friends at school, but they've not been able to hang out with their friends outside of school. For our family, Heather was laid off back in March 2020 when she was building log homes, and then she returned to work in Parksville, which has been a huge blessing, way less driving and way more time at home. She returned to a job in September, and she enjoys working with Triple H Construction, who are working on a number of different projects in Qualcomm and also own the mini golf in Parksville, which has been really helpful for us in our work with kids. I needed to take some unpaid time last summer and continued part-time through the fall. I hope to return to be back full-time in September when the restrictions ease, but without doing any in-person fundraising events and kind of sharing our story with the community in person, I may not be able to do that. Abby loves kindergarten, and I so much love being home after school with her. I try to pick her up after school at 2:30, or she takes the bus, and we play for a few hours before Heather goes home and I return back to work. Thank you so much for your support. We've only been able to navigate these challenges with COVID-19 and with kids because of the support of people in our community. And we're trying to do the best that we can with kids, engaging with them and showing them who Jesus is. So thank you. Thank you for your prayers and your support.
Friends, may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Christ was born, then the Spirit. flame. Now this gospel truth above shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free.